So, Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that he caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that the Lord had blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was in the house, she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in with me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Well, we pray that God will... So I wonder how you would define success. Got me thinking as I was preparing this sermon. I wondered, thinking about success, how I would define success of a sermon. So in 30 minutes time or whatever, I was thinking, I wonder how I would know whether a sermon's been successful. When you go to bed tonight, when you look back on the day, I wonder how would you say or define or decide whether it's been a successful day. On the 31st of December this year, you know, that time is the years sort of pass by. It all sort of feels artificial in one sense, doesn't it? But there's a sense in which a year is finished, and we do have a bit of a time where we look back as well as looking forward. And I wonder what it would be about this year that would make you think this has been a successful year. If your life was successful, I wonder what sort of things would be being said at your funeral. I guess really, it would show the things that are the most important to us, wouldn't it? Now, to some, success is measured in pounds. It's about the money in the bank and how well you're doing financially. To some, success will be measured in smiles. You might look back at the day and think, well, how much did I smile today? Or look back at your life or the year and say, how much have I smiled? It's all about fun. Some might even say, well, it's how many pints I've drunk or how many sexual partners I've had. To some, success would be measured in years. The most important thing to them is health and a long life. And so it will just be measured in how long they live. To some, it might be measured in exam results. Their passion is learning and education. And they want to say at the end of the year or the end of their lives, look at all the qualifications that I've added to my name. Some might want to measure success by how far they've gone up the career ladder, what position they've got in a company, what sort of status and earnings they're receiving. Some might measure their success in terms of what they've handed down to their children and might find great joy and pleasure. And of course, many things that I'm speaking of here aren't bad things, are they? And to consider the sort of the children and family life as a measure of their success. Some, to be a little bit more trivial, would be wondering how many people have liked their Facebook posts this week. Or how many people have subscribed to their YouTube channel. So what is it that really matters? And like I said already, the most important question is how would God label success? What would he look at and say is a success? And of course, when we want to find out things like this, the place to look is the Bible, God's revealed word to us. What does he say about success? And one of the places he speaks about it is here in Joseph's life in Genesis chapter 39. Just notice, you might have noticed when I read it, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Verse 23, right at the end, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. I wonder what godly success really looks like. What's the secret, we might say, of Joseph's success? And therefore we could ask ourselves or think about how we should measure success in our own lives. So there's three things that I've noticed considering this chapter. Firstly, godly success means knowing God's presence. Godly success means knowing God's presence. In fact, every time in this chapter when it speaks about Joseph's success, we're reminded of the fact that the Lord was with Joseph. Listen to those verses again. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. Verse 3. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. We can add this time verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The Lord was with him. Verse 23. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. God's presence was a crucial part of Joseph's success. In fact, if you look at verse 3, it specifically says that it was the presence of the Lord. It says his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hand. In other words, the presence of God with him was what caused his success. You see, fame or fortune might make you smile for a short time. But unless God is present, it's not success in God's eyes. In fact, you would be a complete fool, or we might say a complete failure, if you gained the whole world yet forfeited your soul, as you know Jesus says later on. That if our thoughts were entirely about the physical things or fame or fortune, it would be foolish to chase them, because even if you achieved the very heights of it, if you paid no attention to your soul and to the presence of God in your soul, it would be a failure. The world might think you're a success, but in God's eyes, you would be a fool and a failure. God's presence and God's work in your soul is so crucial if you want to know godly success. And so success is spiritual. Now, I applied this to myself first. And I might be the pastor of the biggest church in the country, but unless the Lord is with me, I'm failing. And the same is true. You might have the biggest bank balance in the country, but unless the Lord is present in your life, it's worthless. You might be a great sportsman or a sportswoman. You might be getting an Olympic medal. But if you don't know the Lord in your life and you don't know his presence, then you're failing. You might be getting another qualification. You might be enjoying a large and successful and caring family. You might be a social media star. But if you don't know the presence of the Lord in your life, then that's not success. Put it the other way around. For me, I could be a pastor of a tiny little church in some backwater with just maybe three old ladies that are coming every week that we gather. But if the Lord is there, if he's manifesting himself among us, surely that would be success in God's eyes, that we're enjoying his presence together. And it would be true of you if you feel poverty stricken, if you suffer ill health, if you're struggling with family tensions, or you're struggling with unemployment. Yeah, but in those problems you feel the presence of God very clearly, then there's something to be cheerful about, something successful about what you're doing, even though it might appear to everyone else to be a failure. I wonder if you know God's success or God's presence bringing you success. You might say, well, what do you actually mean by, what do you mean by God's presence? I don't quite get it, because you also tell me, Robin, that God's everywhere. So what do we mean by God's presence? Well, that's why I would want to turn to that passage in James 4, verse 8, where it says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. It's about feeling God close. It's about knowing that he's involved in your life. It's about allowing him to talk and speak and guide you in every part of life. It's about not pushing him away. Think back to the Garden of Eden. What was the joy about the Garden of Eden? Yes, God had given a wonderful world to Adam and Eve to live in, but the real treasure was that they could walk with God. And you remember that's what happened when they sinned. They had to be separated. Do you remember later on Mary and Martha, when they were preparing that meal for Jesus and the disciples, and Martha's rushing around getting everything ready, and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha gets a bit cross. She's getting angry. Why is she sitting there doing that when I've got all this work to do? And Jesus said that she was doing the one needful thing, which was to be at the feet of Jesus, sitting close to him. It's about God's presence, isn't it? It's about knowing God's closeness. It's about sitting at the feet of Jesus. Success is about being with Jesus, knowing his input, listening to his voice, following his commands. So the first thing, knowing God's presence Godly success means knowing God's presence. But secondly, godly success means living God's way. Living God's way. Success starts with obedience to God. And if you want real success, then you need to submit to God and live His way. We've talked already about drawing close to God in James chapter 4. I'm just going to read a few more verses around that, because you'll see that it's not just about sitting with our eyes closed and feeling close to God. It's also about what we do about things in our lives that aren't right. James chapter 4, I'll read from verse 6 this time. But He gives more grace, and therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. You see, godly success is married to holy living. We see it in the example of Joseph in this passage. Firstly, we see the presence of God with him, but then we see him living God's way. A man of integrity, a man who does not want to sin against God. Did you notice that in verse 9? It doesn't say he didn't want to sin against his master, or he didn't want to sin against Potiphar's wife. He said he didn't do that wickedness because he didn't want to sin against God. He wanted to live a holy life. Now, there's many excuses that Joseph could have given in the situation he found himself. He could say, well, I've been treated so unfairly. Look at what my brothers did to me. He could say, I'm so vulnerable. What you could say, well, why is he vulnerable? Well, he's vulnerable because he was young. He was just 17 when he went, we're told, to start with. He was attractive, so this woman found him attractive. He was away from home, and so he didn't have the influences of his family. He was in a household where the master was away. So Potiphar was away, so he had every opportunity to play while the master was away, you might say. He was with a woman who seems lonely, or at the very least attracted to him. He was being told by his master's wife. He was just a servant, and he was being told by his master's wife what he should do, and he knew it wasn't right. He had lots of excuses he could give him, but he was vulnerable. So he was untreated unfairly, he was vulnerable, but he was also a righteous man. And he sees the temptation that's being put in front of him to sleep with this woman as a sin against God. And so he refuses her. Did you notice how persistent she was in verse 10? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. Every day she was getting on to him. He wouldn't listen. It's a good thing to think about how we should respond to temptation, isn't it? He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't get beside her, which would be a dangerous place to be because he knew what she would wanted. And he wouldn't even be with her. He did everything he could to be away from this temptation. Here he is living in obedience to God. Success means living God's way. Being a man or a woman of integrity. Doing what we know is right. So what does success look like for Joseph? If you want to see what success looks like, it doesn't look like a big bank balance and flash cars and a big house. This is what success looks like. It looks like a man who does a good job and is trustworthy. That's what it looks like. He found that in Potiphar's house, and he found it in the prison. He was a man who did a good job and a man who could be trusted. That's what success looks like. Success looks like a man who acts with integrity and sexual purity. Success looks like a man who resists temptation. Success looks like a man who will run away from sin, whatever the cost. Success looks like holiness. Success looks like standing up against immorality. Success means being willing to pay the price for following God's ways, because that's what happened. There was a cost. He ended up in prison. I'm sure if Joseph would have gone along with her, and perhaps for a while it might have been a secret from Potiphar, he certainly wouldn't have been in prison. But because he took his stand, he ended up in prison. So let's just think about that for ourselves, living God's way. Success being measured in living God's way. Do you do a good job? Children, when your mum and dad say, could you do this task? Could you sweep this? Or could you cut the grass? Or could you tidy your bedroom? I wonder if you do a good job. That's what success in God's eyes looks like. Somebody who is obedient and does it fully. Adults, I wonder if we are people that do a job well, diligently. Whether we're trustworthy, whether we're reliable. I wonder whether we're people who act in purity and act with integrity, who care more about not wanting to sin against God than pleasing other people. I wonder how we are coping with resisting temptation, with resisting the devil. How good are we at fleeing from sin? That's what success looks like. This is what Joseph's life shows us that success is. It shows us how skewed our world is and the thing that it thinks are successful. Here's a man who's put before us as someone who's successful, and all we can find is someone that's being tempted and managing to resist and running away and getting himself imprisoned. But this is success in God's eyes. So success, godly success, means God's presence. Godly success means living God's way. And lastly, godly success, I noticed, means receiving God's blessing. Receiving God's blessings. God's favour. Now, this one's a bit more tricky. It could easily be misunderstood for some form of prosperity teaching. So before I go any further, I want to point out a few things about this blessing that Joseph received. I mean, I think you could read this passage, and I think we could indisputably say that Joseph was blessed. But think about what's happened to him. It doesn't mean that there was no trouble, does it? It doesn't mean that his life was smooth. This godly young man was envied by his brothers. He was sold as a slave and taken to Egypt. He was mistreated by Potiphar's wife, not only with the way she tried to take advantage of him, but with also what she said when her husband came home. It was all lies, wasn't it? She just made up these lies to the men in the house. She made Joseph look like he was trying it on with her, what he said to the others in the household. And when her husband came home, she said the same thing. This guy that you've brought, he's trying it on. Look what's happened. So people were saying false things about him. He was accused of something that he didn't do, and indeed he ends up in prison. So I'm not saying that receiving God's blessing means that your life is going to be smooth and everything's going to be hunky-dory forevermore. If you live a godly life, there will be trouble. There will be difficulties. There will be challenges. There'll be times where there'll be a cost to being a follower of Jesus. It will be hard. But there's also many signs of God's blessing in Joseph's life as he goes through these things, walking closely with God. Success is seeing the Lord bring his favour upon your work. Success is seeing tangible evidence of God's hand of blessing upon you and upon all your endeavours to please him. Success like this is noticed by other people. Did you notice that? Verses 4 to 6. Just see what the other people thought of Joseph. So Joseph found favour in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From that time on, he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessings of the Lord was on all that he had in that house and field. And so he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. So Potiphar could see that the Lord's blessing was upon Joseph. The same happened in the prison. Look at verse 19. As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But listen, look what happens. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So the prison guard, the chief prison guard, could see that the Lord was with him. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. And the keeper got to the point where he didn't have to pay any attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. There was tangible evidence that the Lord was with him, and he was blessed and given God's favour to these other people, to Potiphar and then to the chief of the prison guards. If you're successful in God's eyes, if you're doing the things that we've spoken of already, walking in God's presence, living God's way, it's likely that you're going to see tangible evidences of his blessings. Often things that other people will notice about you or about your behaviour. For example, people will notice your love and your kindness. It comes from God, and they'll see that there's something different about the way that you live. People will notice your diligence and your integrity. You know, I said to your children a little while ago, you know, if your parents ask you to do a job and you do it well, they'll notice. If you go and work in a workplace and you do a job well, it will be noticed. If you work hard as if you're working for the Lord, even when people are a bit nasty to you, you still do what you know is right to do. It's noticed. But of course, some people won't like it. Some people react against you doing what's right. But whatever, the Bible tells us if that we're not ashamed to honour Christ, then he will not be ashamed to honour us. And ultimately, yes, that will happen on one day when we see him face to face at the judgment. But it's also possible that through your life, God will bring blessing and favour upon you. And other people will notice, because you're being faithful with little, God will give you more to be faithful with. So, back to the introduction as we conclude. What is success? What does make a successful sermon? Surely it's knowing God's presence, hearing God's voice in it, knowing that he's speaking to you. It's a commitment, as we hear God's word, to want to live in accordance with it, to live God's way, to leave the door today making a commitment to change something about our lives, to live for him. It's about acknowledging God's blessings in our lives in the past and being ready to receive blessings that he might bring into our lives this week. When you go to bed tonight, how would you know if you've had a successful day? Well, have you felt God's presence? Have you spent time with him? Have you enjoyed him? Have you heard him speak to you? Has he caused you to respond to him? Have you been living God's way? Have you been obedient to him? Are you resisting sin? How's it gone today in terms of resisting sin? Can you look back at the day and say thank you to God for some blessing that you've received? What would it be like on the 31st of December, looking back at the year? Would you be able to look back at this year and say, I felt that the Lord has been close this year? Could you look back at the year and say, I've tried to live God's way this year? Could you look back at the year and say, I've received so many blessings from God's hand? I wonder how those things would be put at your funeral, whenever that is. I hope it's a long time away. That people would be able to say, here's somebody who knew what it was to be with God. In fact, here's someone who we could see that God was with. Here is somebody who lived God's way, who was willing to obey God even when it was hard and it was costly, who was willing to obey God even when it meant upsetting somebody. They were wholehearted followers of the Lord. It seems that there was nothing that could put pressure on this person to deviate them away from living a life for God. Here's someone whose life we can see God blessed and showed favour upon. That would be success, wouldn't it? Godly success. Not your bank balance. Not how famous you are. Not how many likes you've got on Facebook from your so-called friends. But whether you've known God's presence, you've lived God's way, and you've received his blessing. Let's be people who set our hearts, as we leave today, let's be people who set our hearts on people who want to be successful in God's eyes. Forget the stuff that the world says, but let's be people who want to be successful in God's eyes. Enjoying God's presence, being obedient to him, and enjoying his blessing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the life of Joseph and what we're learning from him already. We thank you for the contrast from what we read last week in the mess it was that Judah's life appeared to be, but your great grace to him. But Lord, we thank you for this example of a man who was so determined to live for you, even in hostile circumstances. Thank you for the way you blessed him. Thank you, Lord, for the example that it is to us. And we pray you'd give us something of Joseph's courage to be people who don't seek the success of the world, but seek your approval. That we might, Lord, enjoy your presence. That you might give us the courage to be people who live for you this week. And that we might see your hand of blessing on our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together, Take My Life and Let It Be.